Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Hour number two on FST. Mike Luda, George Kurtz. Fantasy Sports Today. We're going around the league. We're talking about all the games that have happened. We're just using it to talk about players. We understand that there's only so much impact that these games can really have on you, that they should have on you, and the way that you're drafting. But you know, you see Tom Brady get out there and light up the Eagles. You're feeling pretty good about it. I heard Kevin saying he was shocked about, or and maybe you were saying you were shocked at how much Brady played, and you were waiting for him to get pulled. But you know, they're not playing the Eagles this year. I think I've seen the Pats make this move before where they push him out there for week two of the preseason to get his reps in if it's a team that they're not going to play during the year and, you know, can show some looks that is not one of their opponents. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Brady barely plays next week, if at all. You know, Belichick's fine to mix it up between week two and week three. I've seen him do that before, by the way.
Yeah, I believe it was me. I was definitely surprised he played a full heavy. It's so many pass attempts. That's why. It's not really maybe the 26. Playing time. I would not want to put Brady through that. He pretty much is the franchise at this point. He goes down, you're done. There's no Garoppolo backing him up this year. So that was really my point there. As far as just it caught me a little bit off guard. I enjoyed watching him, mind you. It was fun, but I didn't think he'd play all that much.
True. So you were talking about keepers. I want to get to this too. And we're going to talk about injury stuff. And by the way, we were talking about, you know, landing spots for Bridgewater. He can't go in division, but, the Bills lost AJ McCarron and it may be into the season, you know, a fractured collarbone. There's only so quickly you want to come back from that. We saw Tony Romo famously try to come back from that and it was far too soon during the course of his season when it was important for him to get back in there. But nonetheless, that could take a while. The reality, though, is that they have two young guys that they both like, both of whom they like. So whether it's Josh Allen getting out there in week one or Nate Peterman holding on to the job for a little bit, so be it. It sucks for McCarron because this is his shot. And that's over. He's not playing week one. I don't see it happening. So it's the rookie or the second-year guy. And then McCarron may be an afterthought in Buffalo before he even ever got a chance.
McCarron will end up on IR, so he's certainly not starting. I know our Gabe Morenci.
You think he'll be IR designated to return?
He's got a broken collarbone. He'll have to. Boy, I don't even know about that.
Cut him loose.
Why would you want to designate him to return? I mean, if you could choose anybody, you could choose, what, two people nowadays?
I think it's
I guess there's a chance he could be that, but I don't think he'll be the one they take. I just don't. Because by then, unless you're down, everything's going wrong, you're getting injury after injury. I would assume by the time you get ready to play, usually a broken collarbone, it'll depend on whether or not he needs surgery. But minimum, it's 6 to 8 weeks. All right? So he told me he's out till at least October. If it's 10 weeks, like the one Aaron Rodgers and Romo kept having, it could easily be November. You know, so now you're going to push this guy to come back. You're going to have other injuries, guys. You probably need more than McCarron. This is assuming you even like McCarron, who really wasn't lighting it up anyway. I assume by the time McCarron be willing to play, they'll have their guy. You know, they'll have Allen be ready. So I don't think they'll push to get McCarron back. I don't. Yeah. I don't think he matters all that much right now. I think Allen, once again, I'll say this with all rookie quarterbacks. I start the rookie as soon as he's ready, assuming you're not a playoff team, which the Bills certainly aren't. You know, if Miami's not the worst team in football, then it's the Bills. That offense is pretty pathetic. They're going to have issues all over the place here. So then as soon as he's ready to play, he plays. Once again, it's week 1, week 7, week 10. Only problem with the Bills is you look at that schedule. I always look at the schedule, Mike, when it comes to rookie quarterbacks to see where's that cushion, you know, where they have some home games against weaker teams. You can plug them in there and feel good about it. Well, Buffalo doesn't have that. And their schedule is brutal. You know, they open up at Baltimore. You know, then you got the Chargers, Minnesota. So you got three really good defenses.
At Minnesota, at Baltimore, at Minnesota, at Green Bay in the first month. You want a rookie. First of all, Peterman's practically a rookie, and the other guy is a rookie and who didn't play against high-level competition. To put him on the road in Baltimore, in Minnesota, and in Green Bay before it's October 1st, that's a lot to ask.
It is. I mean, Green Bay's the cushion there, but it's Lambeau Field, Green Bay, and they're going to score 1,000 points. Then you got Tennessee, Houston. I think Houston's defense is good. I don't know why people would think otherwise. That's not great. Then your next cushion, at Indianapolis. You know, I wonder, but if it was at home, I think that'd be the game I would target there. But it's on the road. They generally like to start these quarterbacks at home, but that would be the game I'd look at. Then you're in New England, Chicago, and it's the end of the year where your schedule gets easier. You know, you're not playing after the Jets. They have the Jets, and they have Jacksonville, unfortunately, but it's Miami with Jets again. Detroit, good, but not great defense. New England, Miami. But I don't know if they're going to wait till week, you know, week 10, week 11, after the bye, week of 11, and go Thanksgiving weekend to wait for that. I think he'll be in there way before that. So they're going to have to bite the bullet and eat it.
Yeah. It's not a great schedule. It is brutal. I mean, I like Tennessee a lot. I could see them being 0-5. At Houston, at Indy, maybe they get one of those.
I don't know where their win comes from. I'll give them one win against the Jets in those two games. I'll give them a game against Miami. After that, I'm sure they'll win another game or two. Chicago, I think, is a decent team, but sure, they got to win another game or two. I think their over-under on wins is 3.5.
Oof. I would hate to bet an under when it's that low, but I understand exactly what you're saying. So, let's do some other player news. Josh Gordon's back. So that's good because I drafted him in Scott Fishbowl. Right now he is currently going ADP. Oh, I'm on the wrong page. ADP for Josh Gordon was really like wide receiver 2. Let's see where he's dropped to. It's wide receiver 2, 23. And I'm sure he's going to rise up now because people see him back in camp. How have you felt about that? You know, Tyrod Taylor there, he's a little bit more of a conservative passer. It seems to line up with Jarvis Landry really well there. But Josh Gordon, obviously, a very explosive player. Hard to count on, but you take your risks with a guy like that, and he could pay off in a big way. So what do you think about Josh Gordon?
Not touching. I'm not touching him. There's so much going on. He's back with the team. He's not cleared yet. So there are other issues going on here. Now there's other he hasn't paid his alimony or something like that. So there are a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff going around here. I won't be touching. Listen, if he falls around 8, round 9, we're okay, why not? But if he's going before that, no. Well, let him be somebody else's headache. I think of all the years we've been worried about Gordon, I've had him in a couple of leagues, and it's never been the year that were paid off for me. So he's always bitten me in the ass. And so I don't see that changing where I'm going to feel the need to grab him this season. I don't. You know, like I said, the value would so have to be there, we're fine. I'll take a shot at him. I mean, it is a new quarterback, which he hasn't worked with much. The fact that he had to leave the team right before camp, man, is that raised flags. Because what the hell was going on there? I mean, if he would have had to leave during the summer, during the spring, that would have made more sense. During camp is when you're pretty much at your safest. You're always around the team. Your whole day is structured. You know what you're going to be doing. You don't have much free time, if any free time. But yet he had to leave. That just raises all sorts of red flags with me. And you said it. He could pay up in spades. Where all of a sudden, he plays 16 games. He does have great chemistry. The fact that they have Landry, that they have a good running game, opens things up for him. Absolutely true. I'm unlikely to bet on that unless the value is just screaming at me, you have no choice.
So I'll tell you why I did it in Scott Fishbowl. We're playing against 899 other teams. If I'm talking about you, the listener, doing your 12-team snake draft, I sign off on everything George just said. When it came to the Scott Fishbowl, and I'm trying to beat so many other teams, and I'm trying to reach a mythical point total that has to be super high, higher than 899 other teams effectively, that's why I take a guy like that. and I took him earlier than people probably thought I would have taken him. But nonetheless, I have him. And if he pays off, then to the victors go the spoils. You know, I have a pretty strong team there. And I don't know what the hell happened, George, in our with our division, but I got we got slammed in our division with the way the teams lined up. I can tell you, yeah, the Jack Donaghy division. I have Michael Salfino, who you know from Yahoo, New York Times, The Athletic. Michael Leone, our very own, from Daily Roto. Then there's me, obviously, superstar. Adam Rank from NFL.com. You ever heard of a guy named Matt Berry? Yeah, Matthew Berry from ESPN. He's in there, too. So it's like, not to mention Jeff Mattson from RotoViz and Matt LaMarca from Fantasy Labs. It was just one of those things. It's like, why did you put all of these guys in the one division? Now, whatever. I just have to put up a big point total and try to get there. But, man, it's a hyper-competitive division. When I look at some of the other ones where, like, there's a whole bunch of fans in some other divisions. I was like, well, help me out a little bit. Like, just we had, like, an empty spot that the guy didn't show up for, you know, signing up or whatever. So literally at, like, the 11th hour, they're like, boom, here's the extra guy. And it was Matt Berry. So it just made it that much more.
Not going to feel bad for you there, Mike, because, you know, he does send out, Scott Fish does send out an email. If you want to play in a certain division or against certain people, please let me know.
I know.
He does send that out.
I let the chips fall where they may.
That's what I do the same thing. I never ask. I told Scott.
Fell right on top.
Yeah, wherever you put me is fine. But, yeah, I don't.
I feel good about the team.
I feel
good about that team. So,
and now you bring up a great point. There have been leagues where I've looked at the competition, and Scott Fish will be one of them because it's 900 teams, not because of my division. Offhand, I don't think. I think my division is normal. Maybe a name or two that I know offhand. I could be wrong here. I didn't study this. It doesn't matter all that much to me. But there have been times where, and the Scott Fishbowl is a league I would do this in, because you have to beat so many teams where you need to stand out somehow. You need to have some luck involved here. You know, I believe someone ranked, some computerized thing ranked all 900 teams. You know, and I actually finished 15th out of that. Very proud.
Wow.
That sounds great. Yeah. There were a couple of enemies. Jeff Erickson was 20th.
Case Keenum debacle, and you ranked 15th.
I guess I have a good overall team, but so. That means nothing, mind you. That's like when your draft gets graded by Yahoo or CBS after the draft and tells you you're going to finish first. Means nothing. You know, it makes you feel good, but it means nothing. You know, so but there are, what I'm saying is, yeah, there are, the Scott Fish Bowl is a league where I will do things a little differently because, like you said, 900 other teams. It's almost like winning a lot. You got to get lucky. It's like winning a poker tournament. You're going to have to win some all-ins where you're actually not the favorite, but you got lucky. Yeah. You know, Mike blew it at Ace King. I had Ace Jack. I caught a Jack. I won. Got lucky. He had the better hand. And you're going to need that. You're going to need to stay healthy for obvious reasons, 900 other teams. You know, last year what I did was
22-man roster, so there's thin waiver wires.
There's no waiver wires. Not thin. There's no waiver wires because that's gonna be a nightmare. Last year in the Scott Fish Bowl, I decided I'm gonna go all in on the Green Bay Packers. I had Aaron Rodgers. Oh, I had Ty Montgomery, Devontae Adams, Jordy Nelson. And when Aaron Rodgers went hurt, well, you crossed that league off my list because I was done. And I knew it. I knew there was a chance. Hey, one player gets hurt, your team is done. But I felt I needed to do something like that to stand out among other teams. And as I said, there have been leagues I played in. Industry leagues where you're playing against the Adam Ronises of the world. And Adam Ronis seems to be my, like, I can't beat him. And it's funny, I can never beat the guy, but I had there was a host of other names, and I'm like, this is a really tough league. I need to do things differently. You know, maybe take some chances here that I normally wouldn't take. Ended up working out. I finished second. Guess who won? Ronis. Because, guy, I just can't beat the guy. But, yeah, so I understand what your philosophy there is. There are leagues where, ordinarily, I said, most, you know, regular 12-team leagues, I don't take many chances. I'm a conservative drafter. I like drafting guys who I know are going to put up certain points, and that's how I'm going to go about it. You know, and I know if I stay healthy, relatively healthy, make the right moves during the year, pay attention, I'll be okay. You know, I can manage my team. But there have been some times where I've looked at it, I'm like, wow, this is a tough field. Or in the Scott Fishbowl case, this is an enormous field. Maybe I need to do things differently to stand out above the rest. So I get your philosophy there, and I don't disagree with it.
Yeah, so my wide receiving core would be Josh Gordon, Juju Smith-Schuster, Adam Thielen, Robert Woods. That's my top four. I'm backing them up with Marquise Goodwin and Mike Wallace and even Martavis Bryant. So I feel really good about that. Brady and Matt Ryan at QB, Superflex, as we've said. Josh Allen I actually have there as well. Running backs, Kamara leads the way with Deion Lewis, Isaiah Crowell, and Carlos Hyde. So, you know, some question marks there. I got James Conner in case anything happens to Le'Veon Bell. The couple of things I did there, which I did a year ago, is I made sure I grabbed my two QBs that I liked, and I didn't get involved in the darn it, in the tight end maelstrom, because the tight ends are overvalued in this league, 1.5 per first down, 1.5 per reception. And I just waited. So I got Cameron Brayton, Charles Clay, and I'll go to work with those guys. I didn't want to get involved in Gronk and Kelsey and Ertz. They were going so high that I just backed out of that. But I wanted to explain my Josh Gordon thing as we were going around the league for news. Other things that happened, defensively, Leonard Floyd from the Bears has a hand injury. We'll see what happens with that, but that could be a big loss for them. Amir Abdullah from the Lions. It seems like he had a few hiccups in that game, including a muff putt and a botched handoff against the Giants. I think Abdullah's kind of on his way out here. LeGarrette Blount, Theo Riddick, Kerryon Johnson are all ahead of him on the running back depth chart, so he's the type of guy that could get dealt before the preseason is out if other teams see injuries. Mike Williams from the Chargers caught a 25-yard touchdown pass. That was solid. Trey Burton caught 4 or 5 targets, 45 yards and a touchdown in the Bears game last night. Ronald Jones from the Bucks, who I have as a Dynasty League running back. He's not done anything, George.
I just realized in the Scott Fishbowl, yet it's another league that I had Darius Geis in. So I'm already behind the eight ball on that league. I mean, you got to be kidding me. That just ruined my day. I thought I avoided him in the Scott Fishbowl. No.
Yeah. Well, we're going to come back. We'll talk some keepers that I have in a league. I want George to see. Help me sift through this, see if it makes sense to keep some of these guys in a keeper league that I have coming up with a deadline later this week, and continue to talk about the games that happened yesterday around the NFL. It's Mike and George on FST, back right after this.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator, plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Rage out on a Sunday morning. Now, football is just around the corner, but we're still giving World Series tickets. We're still giving World Series. Let's start that again. Take two. Football is just around the corner, but we're still giving World Series tickets on, giving out World Series tickets on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This time, it's to the winner of free DFS baseball contests. Those contests are sponsored by DKMS. Who are looking for your help in the fight against blood cancer. For many patients, a bone marrow transplant is the best chance for survival. While 30% of patients can find a matching donor in their family, 70%, nearly 14,000 each year, must rely on a benevolent stranger to step up and donate. You can find out how you can help the cause and win 2018 World Series tickets playing free daily fantasy baseball by going to dailyroto.com/DKMS. That's dailyroto.com/DKMS, your ticket to the World Series and blood cancer patient's ticket to life. I don't know if the Yankees are going to get there, George, but at least they took 2 of 3 from the Blue Jays, and they are pounding the ball right now, which is a nice departure from what it has been with the power struggle that they had for part of August and July.
I think the Yankees have won just the first 2 games against the Blue Jays. Do you know they're going to lose today, Mike? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No,
Are you forecasting a loss today?
No, I'm trying to say I'm finally feeling positive after a couple of games. They're losing series to the Rays like they're going out of business, and I'm just happy that they won two games in a row.
You said they took two of three. They've won the first two. It means you think they're going to lose today.
Yeah, I did. That's a yeah. I misspoke. They have won the first two of the three game set against the Blue Jays. They've won two.
They might be lucky if they play today. A lot of rain here in the New York area. Here,
this is true.
Yankees have some issues. I think I actually wrote about that in the hot not column this week. Pretty much the Yankees are loaded with guys in the not column. Judge can't get healthy over the wrist. Severino won the game yesterday, but he still wasn't the Cy Young candidate he was before the All-Star break. Bird can't hit. Torres is struggling. It goes on and on and on.
He looks terrible. I know he had a home run yesterday, but Bird is terrible. And he's one of those guys, and I'm like, the organization loves him, but I don't get it. He had one burst of power in like a 45 game set a couple of years ago, and since then, no production, none. And he's hitting.
I wonder this.
He plays every day.
I wonder this when it comes to Bird and the Yankees. If the Yankees want to make a big splash during the offseason, there really isn't starting pitching out there to get. There's not. That's what they need, but it's not out there.
Yeah.
If they want Machado, and he says he'd play third base, he pretty much wants to be with the Yankees, said he'd play third base with the Yankees, do they move Andujar to first base? You know, Andujar is struggling. There's no tomorrow defensively. He's a good hitter, really good hitter.
Really good.
And he's struggling at third defensively. Could they move him to first to make room for Machado out there? It's just a guess, the speculation here. It's just something I've been toying around
That's
with.
Interesting.
You know, you got Gregorius at short, you got Torres
but
at second.
But Didi's only there probably through next year, right?
I don't know if they'd let him go, but yeah, his contract isn't long term. No.
Guys. I love Didi, but they have so many other guys that you're going to have to pay, especially if you're adding a salary like Machado's. Like, Didi might be the odd man out when it comes to just figuring out what your cap looks like. And Torres is a shortstop prospect anyway. Does he go back to his natural position? And then Andujar to second? That's stuff that I think about.
Andujar can't play second. That'll never happen.
Yeah, that's probably.
You don't see third baseman moving to second base. There are different types of body types there. That'll never. That's regardless of what Milwaukee might think with Travis Shaw, that doesn't work. You know, you think Andujar is a bad defensive third baseman, wait to get him at second. You'll be crying for the likes of Chuck Knobloch. So that won't happen. It's like I said, it's just throwing stuff out there. The Yankees may decide they're not going to spend big on Machado and save the money for when pitching does become available, which maybe is after next season as far as free agency is concerned. But the worst nightmare for the Yankees is coming true. All right, they're not going to catch Boston. That was over weeks ago, actually maybe months ago.
Yep.
Now Oakland's playing out of their mind. Their worst nightmare is Justin Verlander in the wild card game.
That's right. That is right. That is exactly what you didn't want. It was bad enough when it was going to be James Paxton, conceivably, with the Mariners. And now it's morphing into, as you said, it could be JV. I'm just hoping Houston plays better, frankly. That's what I need.
Well, they got to get healthy, too.
I know.
And they without Correa, Springer, and Altuve for 2 weeks. Now they've gotten two of them back. Altuve maybe is back next week. That's why Houston struggled. You know, their pitching hasn't been quite as dominant. Once again, long season, we see this. And you wonder in a perfect world if Houston would have liked to have done the same thing that Boston's been able to do. I'm not saying the injuries aren't true, but they've been able to get, because they have such a big lead, they've been able to give Sale. You know, even if he could have pitched through it, give him a rest. You know, Erod is out with the sprained ankle, but once again, these guys will be fresher in the second half of the season because of that. Houston hasn't been able to that. Give a breather.
You wonder when Boston,
Morton.
This might be the first sign of Boston like tapping the brakes a little bit. You know, the 98 Yankees, I was going back and looking. We'll get back to football in a minute. George and I are just indulging ourselves with Yankee talk. But I was looking back at the 98 Yankees because the Sox are on such a pace right now. I was trying to see how they paced against the 98 Yankees. The 98 Yankees, after 122 games, were 92-30, which is a 75.4% clip. Amazing. But for the next month, they played 500. It was right around August 18th. Like, I think today was the day. Like, or yesterday. August 18th or so, they were like 92-30. And they basically took the next month off. They played 500 ball. And then Torrey got irritated, and then they won 10 of their last 12. So, like, Boston could go through a stretch here where people are like, what happened to the Sox? Like, nothing happened. They just, what are they motivated for? Like, they don't, they're going to be the best team in the majors by a margin, by a good margin. So they don't need to keep the pedal on the metal. Like, the Mariners won 116 games in 01, and it doesn't matter. Like, it really doesn't matter. The Warriors won 73 games in basketball 2 years ago. They didn't win the championship. The ring is the thing, right? So if they take some time off, I wouldn't criticize them at all.
No, it's the smart thing to do. Winning during the regular season for Boston means nothing from here on out. Nothing, other than for fantasy owners. You know, we're the ones who want the W's from their pitching staff, wherever it comes from. It means nothing. You know, they can win, you said it. No one remembers how many games the Mariners won in 01 because they didn't win the championship. And Boston, they're going to win the division. And listen, they're not very happy about Houston in the wild card either. Because if Houston beats the Yankees, that means they got to go up against Verlander, Cole, Morton. You know, and Houston's a team that's probably underperformed this year. You know, I mean, with that lineup, you know, I said Springer, Correa, Altuve, and the other hitters there, Bregman, who's having a very good season. You know, this is a team that's a threat, a major threat. And obviously, they're World Series champions. The American League as a whole is a nightmare because Cleveland's no slouch either. Look at that pitching staff. Assuming Bauer comes back before the playoffs, which is a big assumption. He's out 4 to 6 weeks with the fractured foot, ankle, whatever it was. You got Bauer, Carrasco, Kluber. Yeah, that's fun. You know, even Clevenger's not a bad fourth starter. You know, same thing with Shane Bieber, for that matter. You know, this is a team that could be a threat. You got Andrew Miller be back, Allen, and Hand in the bullpen. It's certainly a better bullpen than it was a month ago. So the American League is going to be no fun for anybody. Like I said, I think you can pretty much throw the records out once that happens. Yeah, as far as how many games Boston wins, because all of these teams can beat each other. The Yankees right now, out of these teams, are probably the fourth best team because they don't have any starting pitcher they can rely on. Severino hasn't been Severino for a month. J.A. Happ has pitched great for the Yankees, but he's pitched against nobodies. The White Sox, the Rays, Baltimore, I believe, was three starts. Yay.
Yeah, I went to the game.
You know, Lance Lynn got lit up yesterday, the other day. Tanaka's up and down. You know, the Yankees have issues. Sabathia, you never know how healthy he's going to be, and he can only go five innings anyway. So the Yankees are in a lot of trouble, and I don't know if Judge is going to be Judge for the rest of the year. You know, it's taking much longer to recover from that, and I just don't know if that wrist is going to heal this season. You may not see Judge being the – he'll be back this year, but you may not see Judge be Judge until next season.
Yeah, like, look how long it took Freddie Freeman to come back from his wrist in the middle of the season last year. Like, he eventually made it back, but it was months. And, like, Judge just got hurt a few weeks ago. If it's months, season's over by the time he's back to 100%. So it won't be 100%, to your point, but we'll see. Maybe he has some sort of miraculous turnaround, but that's a tough thing to bet on. So, well, good stuff there on the Yanks. I haven't talked to George about the Yankees in a while, so I wanted to do that on air. So, I got keeper decisions to make coming up, George. It is a 12-team half-point PPR league. Excuse me. It is keeper league, and I can keep as many of these players as I want. It is a three-round penalty. I hate to say penalty, but a three-round bump from where they were drafted last year. So here are the guys we're looking at. I would expect somewhere between 24 to 30 guys to be kept overall. So keep that in mind when we're talking about the guys that I'm going to keep. Like, I've tried to map it out, and I think that's about right. Somewhere in that range. Call it 25 guys will be kept. So here are my decisions. Matt Ryan, drafted him in the 11th round last year. I can get him in the 8th round this year. Normally, I would be waiting. But considering that there's about 25 guys that are being kept, and I do like Matt Ryan this year, and it is not predictable to me as to how early quarterbacks go in this league for this reason, it has varied. There are some years where they've flown off the board. Other years they haven't. Last year they didn't. So Matt Ryan, I'd keep him in the 8th round this year. What say you?
Well, first I need to hear that you're other keepers.
Okay.
I don't think you make any decisions until you see your overall choices.
I don't have a limit,
here.
Though. I don't have a limit, so I can keep as many as.
Oh, you don't have a limit. That's
right.
Interesting. Most things you do have a limit of how many guys you can keep. I mean, obviously, I don't like Ryan in the 8th. Yeah, 11th I'd have no problem with, but even that's where I think he should go here. I think this comes down to you have to know – it's a one quarterback league, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So this comes down to you have to know your league. You know, how many quarterbacks do you expect to be kept? You know, and do how many guys keep backup quarterbacks? You know, that's another thing I'm going to be looking at here. Is this league perennially people keep backup quarterbacks, which is a seems to be a new trend in leagues, and it's driving me crazy. I used to never draft a backup quarterback. And now I'm mostly because it seems like six, seven, eight owners are drafting a backup quarterback. I feel like I don't have a choice. Or else I'm going to get the 20th, 21st, 23rd guy so that an injury happened here. So I've been drafting more backup quarterbacks. So in your situation, I mean, my first thought is no. Ryan in the eighth doesn't make much sense to me. But this is a league-dependent question.
Yeah. And really the two quarterbacks that I would guarantee would be taken is – I can't guarantee it, but – Russell Wilson and Tom Brady would both go in the second round if they were to be kept. I think those teams will keep them. Brees could be kept in the second, too. I don't think it's going to happen. Derek Carr could be kept in the seventh. I don't see
God,
that happening at all. I don't like Derek Carr at all. But I think I might keep him just because there's enough players being kept that it could push up his value. He's effectively a 10th round pick due to the players that are off the board. But so my next one is a layup. I have Zach Ertz in the sixth round. That's a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, I'm probably doing that as well.
Yeah. We talked about we don't normally target guys, but if I get Zach Ertz in the sixth round in any other draft, I would keep him. So
I wouldn't.
I'm going with that. No?
I don't
go. Top three tight end in the sixth round? That's pretty good value for him.
That's about where he should go in the standard draft. It's about where he's going to go. You know, maybe it's, you got two round value there. I don't love it, but I don't mind it either.
Yeah.
If this is where, if this is league where, like I said, most leagues where you have limit of keepers, I'm not keeping them. Not unless you have nobody else. But because you don't have limits here, it makes it a little easier to keep them.
Yeah. Corey Davis, seventh round draft pick, it would be. I've drafted him in the 10th last year.
Ugh. This is not going to be another team. It's not going to be a throwing offense. And even if they are. Is he the first choice, or should I know Matthews has to get on the field first. It's going to be a big-time run team. Deion Lewis, Rishard Matthews, Delonte Walker. I'm probably not, but I know some people are higher on him than I am.
I really like the Titans this year. Let's pause there to talk about the Titans.
So do I.
I love the Titans this year. I actually think this could be a pretty darn good offense. I understand what you're saying about maybe them not throwing the ball as much because I still have a nice little 1-2 punch here, but I think a lot of Lewis's value is going to come in that passing game, and I think we could see an increase in the number of plays that they're running. Here's the reality, and I've said this 100 times, so apologies to those people that have been listening on a regular basis. They did not put Mariota in a good position last year. Clearly, he was banged up, but they didn't put him in a good position last year when it came to play calling. They're going to run a lot more play action this year. They ran the 29th most offensive plays in the league last year. I think they will increase that in a significant way. I think they're top half of the league, conceivably, in plays run. I think they'll be able to ball control it a lot more. And I think they're going to put Mariota in a better position to succeed as far as running more play action. So that's why I like them. I think Corey Davis can be a beneficiary. I think Deion Lewis's value has been really good in drafts to this point, rising some, but it's been really good. Obviously, you're going to have injury concerns there. He's missed tons of games over the course of his career. Last year was the only year in which he saw all 16 games. So, yeah, there were 496 passing attempts last year. That was 28th. So I think it goes up, but maybe you're right that it's still going to be very heavy on the run because of that dynamic 1-2 punch.
Yeah, I think they're going to be more conservative, not really open it up. Now, my mind on this would change if Rishard Matthews' issues continue, where he is the number one there. I'm just not a big Davis believer. It's not all him. It's close to the office. I don't think they're going to let loose. Yeah, I think they will protect Mariota. Last year was strange with what Wizard Hunt was doing with Mariota. They didn't want him to run, which I understand because you want to protect him, but that's what he does. You know, if you want him to be a pure drop back passer, that's not going to work. You know, he has to use his legs. That's what his athletic ability tells us to do here. So maybe that's why I just wasn't a big fan of what they were doing last season. So I hope things change for the better. But as you said, I think this is a really good team. You know, I think that whole division outside of Indianapolis is going to knock the crap out of each other.
Yeah, I have them winning the division this year. I actually think they can overtake the Jaguars this season. But Corey Davis in the seventh round, I think we're going to keep him. Again, it's close. Next guy, I got Marlon Mack, keepable in the ninth round. I think I'll do it just because I can draft a couple of running backs before him. I don't have a lot of great thoughts about Marlon Mack, but I think at value, like, I could consider keeping him in the ninth round, you know, as a third or even fourth running back at that point. I'll already have – the problem is I'm already going to have a tight end, a wide receiver, and a QB before then. So I could just load up a running back before that. The only other guy that was a possibility was Devontae Booker in the fifth round. I'm not going to do that, obviously.
No.
So because Royce Freeman is just going to take over that job at some point. I also have, is that right, Rob Kelly in the fourth round. I don't like the Washington run game at all. I didn't like it that much when Darius Geis was healthy. But Rob Kelly's going to see a lot of carries now. Do you think he's keepable in the fourth round?
Hell no. He is going to be. He's probably going to be a starter there. I think he does win it, but I'm not keeping Rob Kelly in the fourth round. If he was the ninth round, I'd keep him.
Yeah. So there you go. I got a few guys to keep. It doesn't put me in a great position, but I think I got some good safe keeps there. We'll come back. We'll continue to talk about some of the other games that happened yesterday. Mike and George on FST.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, George, can you hear me?
Yes, Mike, I can hear you. How are you, Mike?
Okay, good. We're back in. I had a little bit of an audio issue, so we'll just go with we'll keep going from here. We had some musical issues there. But before we get back to the games, BetDSI is celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They have great customer service and fast, easy payment of winnings. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI with hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering on all major sporting events, where you can make your play at any time during the game. BetDSI runs sign-up and deposit promotions year-round if you're willing to adhere to rollover requirements. For instance, for a limited time, using promo code FNTSY, BetDSI is offering up to $2,500 on your first deposit. So use promo code FNTSY and try BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com, promo code FNTSY. Head on over and start winning today. So where was I? We're going around the league talking different teams. One team we kind of glossed over because we got to some other teams was the Bears. Mitch Trubisky, 9 of 14 for 90 yards, a touchdown and a pick. You had Chase Daniel played a majority of the game, 19 of 28, 189, two touchdowns. It was a big fourth quarter comeback. That's what it was for the Bears. They scored 14 in the fourth quarter to get the victory last night. But yeah, Trey Burton four catches, 45 yards and a touchdown. Jordan Howard, 9 of 9 carries, 32 yards. You had no Tariq Cohen. Ryan Nall picked up a few. People have liked him in deep sleeper leagues and dynasty leagues. But reality is Anthony Miller, 3 catches for 33 yards. Kevin White, 2 for 15. I saw him draw a big pass interference penalty as well. Tariq Cohen did catch a pass, 1 for 10. So help me sift through the Bears here for a little bit. No Allen Robinson. Obviously, he's the big offseason acquisition. So help me sift through the Bears. I've been of the opinion, George, that I'm not buying the Bears. Too many changes all at once. The hype machine got rolling around the Bears, and I was like, yeah, no thanks. I'm not a believer in the quarterback necessarily. I need to see him prove me wrong. New coach who does have a connection to running a more dynamic play-calling scenario. I do think it's a really good 1-2 punch at running back, so I think that's where I'd most likely see the value of this offense. But I'm worried about Allen Robinson, ACL, new quarterback, new coach, the whole thing. So give me your total picture of the Bears.
Well, I think for the first time in a while, probably since you're looking at maybe Jay Cutler when he had Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall there, they have what I would call a legitimate offense, and maybe even better than those days because they have a legitimate player at each position or players. Now, Trubisky, he's in two quarterback leagues, yes. That's a way you can think about drafting him. You know, maybe he makes that leap into quarterback one, but I doubt it. I don't see this team throwing the ball all over the field. Defense is good. Running game is strong. Howard, I think, does rebound from last year. He's a good end of the second round back that I would take. I understand he screwed some people over last year, me being one of them in a couple in several leagues, but I'm willing to give him another shot there. Tariq Cohen is all you're hearing out of Chicago is they want to use him as a weapon. And they want to make him the new Slash, the new Cordell Stewart, where they're going to move him all over the field, line him up at wide receiver, let him be a mismatch there. He should be a fun player to watch if they can truly incorporate him to do that, which is sometimes a lot easier said than done. But he's a player I'm certainly interested in the round 6, 7, 8, pass catching back out of the backfield. I have the same reservations as you about Allen Robinson. I think, once again, people are automatically assuming he's going to come back and be great. You know, I understand he was pretty damn good with Jackson with Blake Bortles as a quarterback. So certainly not a lot to like there. But, you know, Chicago, it's grass turf again, so it's not a fast track. There's a reason they call it the Windy City. Not easy to throw the ball in the second half of the season there. They have a good running game, good defense. I don't see them throwing the ball up and down the field. I just don't. Plus, you got the ACL and the injury, the issues we discussed earlier about how that's not always, you know, not everyone's Adrian Peterson comes back first season and is great. Trey Burton, I do think, you know, you mentioned Lewis Riddick earlier. Trey Burton's going to be a monster. And I like Lewis Riddick a lot. I think I like his candor and the fact that he's not afraid to say what's on his mind. So I think Burton's going to be very good as well. Now, does this all mesh in season one that they're all together? That's asking a lot. It is asking a lot of this team, of Trubisky. But I like the pieces. I do. That being said, I like to own Howard. I don't think I'm going to own any shares of Allen Robinson. I think he's going too early. He's going earlier than I would like. And with wide receiver being as deep as it is, I can find what I would consider safer players. Trey Burton, same thing. Don't own any shares yet. Not afraid to get him, but I seem to be getting he's pretty much the start of that third tier for me, and I seem to be getting a tight end at the end of the second the bottom of the second tier in most of my drafts where I'm not falling quite far enough of a third tier. But I do have hope that Burton, that Lewis Riddick is right, that Burton is going to be a monster.
There we go. Mike Bluda and George Kurtz back. Sorry, we had a little bit of a technical issue. So we're back talking about the Bears is where we left off. George, we were talking Trey Burton. Trey Burton as the 10th tight end. You like the value there. Allen Robinson at wide receiver. He was, I think I saw it right before the break, it was 18th. Is that right? 19th wide receiver off the board, 42nd overall. So you're looking at, you know, back end wide receiver two. He's right behind Jarvis Landry and Demaryius Thomas, right in front of Brandon Cooks and Golden Tate. I can tell you I'll take Landry and Tate out of that group every time. Just I like the guys with the ball in their hands a lot, especially in PPR scoring. I understand it at times limits some upside. I'm not looking at tons of touchdowns typically from Landry or Tate, but those are the guys I want. I want guys in their ball in their hands every single week. Even if the yardage, projected yardage total is a little bit lower, I'm willing to take those guys to help stabilize my wide receiving core before I take some chances with guys in new locations like Allen Robinson and Brandon Cooks.
Hey, I feel the same way. Allen Robinson is another guy I don't expect to have on too many teams, or any teams for that matter. He's not a guy I'm looking to avoid, but I'm not targeting him at all. You said the reasons why. Coming back from the ACL, new team. Not a lot there in the receiver. I like what this team has done. I truly do. Now, I don't know what people heard before the audio issue. I think I talked for 2 minutes before I realized no one could hear me. So if I'm repeating myself, I apologize. But I like what the Bears have done. You know, you got a quarterback of Trubisky now, so you can build around him. Howard, I understand, screwed some people over last year, me being one of them. So maybe you have reservations about taking him again, but I have no problem, Mike, grabbing him at the end of the second round. Tariq Cohen, they want to use as the new Cordell Stewart, slash. They want to move him all over the place, make him a weapon. Sometimes that's easier said than done, where it doesn't always work out, but that's what they want to do. And I have hopes for him in the, you know, a few rounds later, round six, round seven, that he could be a dangerous player, to put it nicely. Trey Burton, you know, Lewis Riddick, who you mentioned earlier, came out and said his kid's going to be a monster, and I agree. I think he is going to be. Now, he starts off the third tier for me, and I don't have any shares of him because I seem to always be getting that tight end at the bottom of tier two. You know, so I don't know if I'll have any shares of Burton, but I'm not all that afraid if I do. I think he is going to be a really good tight end. So overall, I think this is the best Bears offense they've had overall, where they have a player at each position, a quarterback, a running back, wide receiver, and tight end in quite a long time here. So I think it's a legitimate NFL offense, but I wonder if maybe it doesn't all mesh until next year. You know, where Trubisky takes that next step, where Allen Robinson is fully healed, where we know more about Burton, where we can see if Tariq Cohen is that weapon. So I like what the Bears have done here. But outside of Howard, like I said, I'll take him at the end of round two in most normal leagues. Per Burton, who I might end up with a couple of shares of if I decide to wait even longer on a tight end than what I'm already doing, I don't think I'll have Allen Robinson in any league. I certainly won't have Trubisky. Nobody should have Trubisky in a one quarterback league, not as a starter anyway. That being said, I do like this offense.
All right, Bears 6.5 win total according to Vegas. What do you think?
You know, they play in a rough division.
Yeah, they
do. I mean, the Green Bay Packers, we all know, with Aaron Rodgers, they're a threat. All right, Detroit Lions, they're no slouch. They're a decent team themselves. Minnesota Vikings, you said it earlier, they might be a Super Bowl contender. They're one of the best defenses in the league. If Kirk Cousins can figure out the offense, Dalvin Cook is back from the ACL, they're dangerous. 6.5. I want to say over. And I'm going to say, oh, because I'm looking at their schedule. And, yeah, I mean, they play Seattle, and Seattle's not the same team anymore. Arizona's good team.
We'll go game by game. Let's do game by game. We got 2 minutes, so we'll do it quick. At Green Bay.
Loss.
They host Seattle.
First home Monday night game, first home game of the season. Seattle not the same team they used to be. I'm going to give them a win.
At Arizona.
I'll give them a win.
Hosting Tampa.
Jameis Winston's return could be rusty. I'm going to give him a win again.
Whoa, 3-1 going into the bye week. At Miami.
4-1.
You're kidding me. New England. Hosting New England.
4-2.
Hosting the Jets.
5-2.
Already at 5. At Buffalo.
6.
They just need one more, but here it comes. Hosting Detroit.
Loss.
Hosting Minnesota.
Loss.
At Detroit.
Loss.
At the Giants.
Oh, boy, this gets ugly real quick.
Yes, it does. Same thing happened with Kevin Walsh. Hosting the Rams.
Loss.
Hosting the Packers.
Loss.
And finishing up at San Fran and at Minnesota.
Loss. Yeah,
that's right. 6.
Is brutal. Brutal. Yeah.
That's right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You have them on an 8-game losing streak to end the season. So
they probably won't lose eight. They probably won't lose eight. But all those wins I gave them early against Seattle, against Tampa, they probably don't win all those either. So you nailed it. That 6.5 over-under is right about is correct.
Right there. The Bears have to get them early because they aren't going to get a lot late. Even if the team gels, they have a brutal schedule. And that December, hosting the Rams and Packers and then going to the Niners in Minnesota might be the toughest in the entire league in December. So we're going to come back. We'll talk about some of the other teams. Browns, Bills, Chargers, a couple other teams in hour number 3 on FST.